Blog Talk Radio.
In this busy world, we're always doing two things at once. So Lysol combines cleaning and disinfecting into one convenient wipe to clean messes and kill 99.9% of germs. At the same time, this may take some getting used to. One wipe, two jobs.
Gotta kiss myself, I'm so pretty. I'm too hot. Call the police and the fireman, I'm too hot. Make a dragon wanna retire, man, I'm too hot. Say my name, you know who I am, I'm too hot. And my band about that front, break it down. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you.
Girl E, this is Strictly Business with E. Davis. You're on the air from Logos. Dial in to join the conversation, 516-453-9133, brought to you by Looking Glass Entertainment. Again, this is Strictly Business with E. Davis, and I am beyond excited about tonight's show because we are talking about real estate, owning the land, owning the property. We just got done celebrating, of course, the 100th anniversary of Block Wall Street. And we have a special guest on the line that's going to talk to you about real estate and owning the land. And I just want to go over some brief information, and then we will bring our guest on. If you don't know, I'm sure you are aware of Black Wall Street, and I'm sure you watched the information and documentary on the History Channel on the anniversary on May 31st and June 1st. It definitely dealt with the concept of Black history, the Tulsa Massacre. It was one of the most heinous massacres in American history, and how to they talked about these survivors. But what really stirred in my spirit was owning the property. I've spoken with my brother about 2 weeks ago, and I said, is it even possible for Black Americans to have another Black Wall Street? And he said no, because of integration. Segregation is what poisoned us, because now we don't have a strong Black community, because, of course, back in the day, we had no choice but to stick together. The Greenwood District in Tulsa became known as Black Wall Street, one of the most commercial, successful, and affluential majority of African American communities in the United States. Booker T. Washington referred to the Greenwood neighborhood as Negro Wall Street. Many Americans, including African Americans, moved to Oklahoma in hopes of gaining a shot at quick economic gains through the mining and oil industries. Although African Americans constituted a small percentage of the overall population in Oklahoma, the percentage of African Americans in Tulsa had significantly increased to 12.3% during the oil boom. And many African Americans had come from the Deep South and Kansas because of the opportunity to strike gold because of the rich oil fields. During the Jim Crow era, African Americans were not allowed to make purchases or service any predominantly white areas. In particular, Oklahoma was known to have some of the harshest and the most unjust Jim Crow laws in the country. Some economics theorize this forced many African Americans to spend their money where they would feel welcome, effectively insulating cash flow to within the Black community, allowing Greenwood to flourish prosperously. So as mentioned, because African Americans were forced into the concept of segregation, the community, the African American community thrived because they had no choice but to go to the Black banks, go to the Black libraries, go attend the Black schools. And this hence grew Greenwood in Tulsa. Now tonight we'll be discussing real estate, on owning the property, owning the land, because I strongly believe that if we put our minds together, and it starts with your mind, if we put our minds together, we can own, or we can have another Black Wall Street without showing any type of racial biasness, but we have to work together. And understanding the concept of Wall Street, one, you need to understanding the concept of real estate. You have to understand what exactly real estate is. It's referred to real property. That's technically lands plus any other tangible improvement that might rest upon or be installed in it. The improvement might be a building that's erected or a roadway. It could be something that's been inserted in the ground, such as a septic system. Land with any of these structures is said to be improved. It's unimproved when it lacks them. Your home is real estate, but so is vacant land you might own. Real estate can be a skyscraper in New York City or a patch of unimproved desert land that cannot be built upon. So how does that work? How does real estate work? Real estate involves numerous facets because it doesn't simply exist. It can it goes from unimproved to improved. It can be purchased or sold, owned by government, a corporate entity, or a private party. Certain components can have a direct impact on the economy, consistent improvement of land, and the individual and the entities that facilitate those transfers of ownership. So understand the types of real estate. We have the residential real estate, and that includes both new construction and resale homes. Most common categories are single-family homes, but there are also condos, co-ops, townhouses, deluxe, triple-deckers, high-value homes, multi-generational homes, and vacation homes. Commercial real estate includes shopping centers, strip malls, medical buildings, educational buildings, hotels, and offices. Apartment buildings are often considered commercial, although they're used for residents because they own to produce income. There is industrial real estate. Industrial real estate includes manufacturing buildings and property, as well as warehouses. The buildings can be used for research, production, storage, and distribution of goods. Some buildings that distribute goods are considered to be commercial real estate. The classification is important because of zoning, construction, and sales can be handled differently for this type of property. And there are pieces of land, such as vacant lots, working farms, and ranches. The subcategories within vacant lands includes undeveloped, it includes early development or reuse, subdivision, and sites and assembly. So that being said, I want to introduce our special guest. She is a realtor, and she knows a lot about the concept of real estate. She has Needs, and I'm pronouncing it properly, Needs Buys Homes, a realtor with Caldwell Banker. And she is the owner of Ness Buys Houses Real Estate Investment Company. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce you our guest, Vanessa Doss. Vanessa, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to talk about this topic today.
Oh, man, thank you so much for coming on to the show. I thank you because it was last minute, so I thank you for just taking the time out. So first of all, just tell us about yourself, where you are from, and how you got into real estate.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I grew up in the neighborhood of Wilkinsburg, so it's just a little bit outside of Pittsburgh. And, you know, I started in real estate when I moved to California. So I lived in Los Angeles for about 5 years. And I got my license there. I ended up in the mortgage industry, and I was out there, like, right before the crash hit. And I ended up moving back to Pittsburgh 2008, right around the crash, and I didn't want to see a piece of real estate for a long time. You know what I mean? Like, the crash hit hard out there in L.A. So, and then probably 2018 is when I got back into real estate as an investor, actually. So I started flipping homes. So, I've put some homes. I'm working on a rental, trying to build a rental portfolio now. And I also got my license here in Pennsylvania as well. So,
okay.
So that's just a little bit about my background.
What led the decision to get into real estate?
You know what? I'll be honest. When I lived in Cali, I was just into modeling and acting. And my dad was in real estate. But my dad was a pastor, but he was in real estate before he got called to the ministry. So he was like, if you want a flexible job, go into real estate.
Uh-huh.
Just, you know, he was like, you book your own appointments, you do your own showings. And, you know, if you have an audition, then you just say, oh, I have an appointment. But that's actually how I got into it. And then when I got into it, I started to love it. You know what I mean? Because It builders is actually real estate. Just all the things you can do with real estate. You know what I mean? So I think it was Andrew Carnegie. He said like 90% of millionaires built their wealth through real estate. So it's just an amazing way to build.
I'm in the wrong business. Okay. So explain to us how it is the wealth or how it is a wealth builder.
Absolutely. So there are so many things you can do with it. So typically we think of real estate as, oh, I'm going to buy my home. I need a place to live, right? I've been renting, so I need a place to live. I'll buy. So that's just one aspect of what you can do. You can obviously live in your home. But as your home appreciates, Like, when you own real estate, you can borrow money off your real estate. So because you have that asset, a bank is willing to give you money. So I may, you know, buy a home 1 year, and maybe 3 years down the line, I build a little equity, and maybe I want to start a business. And so now the bank is willing to give me like an equity line of credit just because I own this land. And now I can leverage somebody else's money because I'm an owner. You know what I mean? That's something you can't do if you're renting a property. So you can leverage from your real estate. You can also rent your real estate out, right? So if, you know, I might buy a townhouse and maybe 3 years later I want to buy something else, so I move out of my townhouse and purchase another property to live in, my other property, my first property now can become a rental for me. And so it wasn't like this in Los Angeles when I lived there, but like a city like Pittsburgh, like where I own, my mortgage is much less than what I can rent it out for. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So like, mm-hmm. like, for example, the place that I live, like my mortgage with my tax and insurance, it's around like $800, but I can rent my home out on the market for about $1,300. You know what I mean? So it's a way to create passive income, and that passive income is key when you're talking about wealth building, because that's the money you make when you're sleeping. You know what I mean? So if you have like, you know, four or five units that are generating like $500 a month, it's just money that's coming in passively while you're out here doing your active income. Maybe you have a full-time job or whatever, but you have passive income coming in. So, you know, you can create passive income. You can borrow from it to branch off to do other things. And then over time, it appreciates. So if you have a mortgage on your home, your mortgage stays the same. You typically get like a 30-year, and, you know, if you get a fixed mortgage, that payment stays the same. But over time, the value of the home is going up and up and up and up. And so you're just building equity over time. So it's just great. There's so many things you can do and leverage when you own property.
Oh, wow. Okay. So I have a couple Q&As I want to go over with you, some questions. But before we do that, we do have a track. After that track, we'll go over some questions.
Okay.
Just waiting in vain. My tears are falling.
James Brown, and I love my producer because he will play some music that will take you back, make you jam. So, Vanessa, I would like to ask you, so with the wakes of the celebration of Black Wall Street, because it just moved me so much because with the pandemic and we're slowly beginning to resurface and I guess get back to normal, but of course we're in a new normal, a lot of businesses have developed. It was like, okay, businesses have started because we couldn't go out and about. Jobs were shutting down. A lot of people were going through it. And then the concept of Black Wall Street, the fact that we are celebrating 100 years of the massacre, not the celebration of a Black community thriving. But I had mentioned before, I was talking to my brother and I said, I think this is right after the anniversary, maybe 2-3 days later. I said, will we ever get back to that? Because the empowerment that I saw, there was doctors and lawyers and teachers and bankers and farmers and, things like that. Will we ever get back to that? And he says, no. He just said no. I said, why? And sometimes he could be like a negative, negative person. I'm like, why? He said, because of integration. I said, wow, okay. And that kind of bothered me because we're quick to say support Black business, support Black business, support Black businesses, but yet when we really try to get the support from our community, do people really show up and, really show that community support, purchase the items that the Black business is selling, or is this just something that we chant? You know what I mean? And then again, it's like, are we wrong to have our own community with so much? I mean, we have made progress. We have made moves, but not enough. Is it wrong? So it's like I was telling my friend yesterday, I want to own property. I want to own land. Mm-hmm. I want to own houses because I want to, one, help single mothers out that can't maybe have the credit to own a home, but they can rent, but make too much for Section 8. You know what I mean? I want to own a strip mall. I want to, where I could put business. Like, that's my goal for the next 5 years. I want to own some type of land.
Awesome.
Yeah,
that's
so it's
awesome.
Like,
that's a great
can
goal,
we have
girl.
That?
Yes. Speak it.
Yeah,
speak
so
it.
Like, can we have that?
Yeah. Well, you know what? Okay, so here's my thoughts on it. I want another Black Wall Street. You know what I mean? Like, I want to see that for our community. I really do. And I do think it's possible. I do think it's possible. When I look at Tulsa, the thing that was important about that community was they owned the land. They owned their properties, and they had businesses. And so, the segregation was a key point of it because they're like, well, it just made sense for them to buy in their own community where they were respected and things, they were treated well and they got good service. The thing that happens nowadays, though, like I look at a place like East Liberty. You're from Pittsburgh, right, East?
Right, right.
Are you from Pittsburgh?
Okay.
Yeah, I look at a place like
East Liberty there.
Okay. So, I look at a place like East Liberty where there were a lot of Black people living in East Liberty, like when I was growing up. There were a lot of Black businesses there, too. And I think the difference between a place like East Liberty and Tulsa, the Greenwood District, is that it was a lot of renters. So the residents were renters rather than owners in East Liberty. And so when a developer comes in and adds value to the community with, like, okay, we're going to put this Target here and,
and we're going to put this, you know, restaurant here. And now the neighborhood is, you know, the business district is kind of booming now because people are coming to the Target. Now the other surrounding businesses are benefiting from that traffic. The business district is booming. The residents are still primarily Black, but what's happening is the values of the homes around that area are going up and up and up. But also the rent is going up and up and up. And if the majority of the Black community are renters rather than owners, then they can't take advantage. So the owner is in a great position because his value is going up, but his mortgage is still the same. The renter is getting priced out of their home, and now they got to move over to Homewood or something, you know what I mean, because they can't afford it. And so that's when we see this regentrification happening. And I think it's about, like, you know, these communities that we live in, these Black communities that we live in now, it's like, where is the education for us to really push, let's buy in these communities? So when we do start to make the business boom, we're owners and we can stay here and we can still support the Black business and whoever else is coming through. If, you know, people are coming from Squirrel Hill or other places, that's fine too. But it still can be the Black Wall Street because it's us owning it. You know what I mean? Like, I think
right.
The ownership is right. Just the real key to being able to do that. And there's something, I mean, I could go on for days about why, you know, Black people, a lot of us are renters instead of owners. I mean, you know, it goes all the way back to even before the Tulsa, like the Homestead Act of 1862. Like, I don't know if you're familiar with this, but, you know, the government was just giving away land back in 1862. And so it was called the Homestead Act of 1862. They allow people to just take up 160 acres. They're like, yo, just take up to 160 acres, however much land you want, just claim it, build on it, and keep it, and it's yours free and clear. It's yours free and clear. And so, well, the war wasn't over until 1865, you know what I mean? And so a lot of us, most of us, our ancestors didn't get to take advantage of that free land that people are getting away. And so, like, when you think about it, like, okay, you know, 90% of wealth is built through real estate, how much of an advantage does other people's ancestors have by getting free land that they got to pass down generation after generation? And you're talking 160 acres worth, like, those are businesses on those lands that they're passing down generation after generation. So it's, I mean, like I said, I can talk for days on you know, why we as Black people were late to the table when it came to getting the real estate. Because if you think about it, real estate is a finite good. It's not like corn or wheat where you can continue to grow it. But real estate is gone, it's gone. Like, it's all taken up, you know. And now, you know, some people in Tulsa, Oklahoma, they were able to get that land. They were a small percentage of Black people that got to take advantage of, you know, owning land, and it gets burned down, like it gets taken away. And that's not the only case where, you know, Black are land like that. It happened all over, you know. So, and it goes all the way up until the 60s where redlining and panic selling, like, are you familiar with everything that was going on when Black people were trying to buy? Like, lenders would have a red pen and they would circle certain areas and they would be like, nope, we're not giving any loans in this neighborhood because it was a Black neighborhood. So, yeah, it's called redlining. So the government had to, like, reform in the 60s, you know, hey, they made all these different acts and laws that said, hey, you have to, you know, Truth in Lending Act, you have to lend to everybody equally, fair housing, all the fair housing laws. So that happened just in the 60s. So if you think about how difficult it has been for Black people to own land in this country, like, just in the 60s is when they were like, nope, we got to make it fair across the board. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, wow.
Struggle.
No, we have a caller in queue. Caller, tell us your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Genesis Amaris Kemp. I'm calling in from Houston, Texas, and this is a great topic so far. I'm loving every bit of it, and I do have a question. So
hey,
what
Genesis.
Type of advice – hey, E, how are you?
I'm well, thank you so much for calling. What's your question?
So my question is, what advice would you give to someone who is interested in getting into real estate – but they don't necessarily have all the capital to really make that jump? And I know some people were saying, like from YouTube videos, you could do a wholesale, you could start off with purchasing foreclosures and stuff like that, but I wanted to really get some advice from an expert.
Yeah, thanks for calling in. So are you talking about an investment property or a property for yourself, like to live in? Or either or.
No, definitely investment property. Just to make
okay.
sure it's another way for you to accumulate another stream of income, kind of similar to what you were talking
absolutely.
About earlier.
Yeah, absolutely. So I would encourage you to just first start with a research as far as you know, what type of property you want to purchase. Do you want to do a duplex? A duplex is a great way to get in because you can actually purchase up to 4 units actually with a loan that, like with the FHA loan, you know what I mean? And you can, with the FHA, you only have to put like 3% down. So you can put down
mm-hmm.
the minimum payment as long as you're going to live in there. You can qualify for an FHA. And so you can live in one unit and you can rent the others out. So that's one hack that a lot of people do when they're trying to get in. They have, you know, a smaller down payment. It's a great way to get into real estate that way.
Okay, thank you. So I have another part of that question, because I know if you have
sure.
an FHA loan already, you could only have one loan. So then what would be the next type? Would that be the conventional loan, or is there another workaround?
Yeah,
if you...
that's a great question. So what a lot of people don't realize is if you have an FHA loan, you can get another one every 3 years. So you can do FHA every 3 years. People think that it's like one shot and that's it. But if you are still within like the 3 years, yes, you can go conventional. And conventional, it really depends. Conventional is typically 20% down, but there are some programs out there, and you just want to talk to different banks. You can also talk to what are they called? Credit unions. Credit unions are a great way to go because they're local and they typically don't sell their mortgage to Fannie Mae. So they keep their mortgages, and so they don't have to go through like the same guidelines. The major banks you'll have like the same guidelines of, you know, we're 20%, this and that, whatever. But if you talk to different local credit unions, they have different rules, and they can kind of bend the rules, and they can do whatever they want because they're keeping the mortgage. But actually, when I bought my first home, it was a conventional. I only had to put down 5%, and it was through – we have something called Dollar Bank here. They probably don't have it in Texas, but, you know, it's a local bank. So it's a great way to you know, you can talk to the traditional ones, the big ones, but I would always recommend, like, talk to your credit unions and see all the different programs that are out there.
Thank you. This is great, great information. Because as you were talking,
oh,
I was
no
digesting
problem.
The information. And I'm like, ooh, I have another question, but I do not want to hog the line.
Genesis is our O&E syndicated intern. She is doing an awesome job. I heard a lot of great things about you, Genesis. Oh, wow. I'm so happy and proud of you.
Thank you so much. And if I think of another question, I may just have to dial back in, y'all.
Dial back in. All right, we have a track, and then after Great this track, we have more with Vanessa Doss. James V. Brown, that's what I'm going to call him from now on. This is Strictly Business with E. Davis. You're on the air from Logos. Call in to dial, to join the conversation, 516-453-9133. Press option 1. This is brought to you by Looking Glass Entertainment. As mentioned today, listen, my producer, he will throw the jammiest of jams in there. So, Vanessa, just next time you listen, just be ready to party. Get your party.
Yeah, that was his dancing.
He throws it in there. I'll be like, oh, hold on. In a minute. What is he doing? But I love it. And he keeps showing your toes. Okay, so here's the thing. Here's the question. So if we buy up, I guess, like what you were saying with the concept of East Liberty, because East Liberty is definitely booming. But is it owned? Mm-hmm. But East Liberty, the property, the things like that, they're owned predominantly by, was that correct?
Yeah, I would say so, yeah.
I mean, I don't want to say it like that's white people stuff, you know what I mean? But it's like, okay, how do we get the land? I mean, because we can always get a building.
Yeah.
We can always pay for money, get a bank loan, and get an LLC and buy a building and call it, you know, Miss Sugar Cakes, whatever, and sell cookies out of there. But how do we get the land? Like, how do we buy up?
You know what I think? Would you say? Did you say Wilkinsburg?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Something like, how do we do that? Like, how do we,
I think
how do we stack that money?
I would feel like we would start with a place like Wilkinsburg where property values are low, but it's crazy because around the outskirts, they're going up. Like, some of the houses I see in Wilkinsburg, I'm like, oh, my gosh. Like, I can't believe, you know, how, like, the values are going up. But I think, yeah, we start in a place where it hasn't been redeveloped yet, and we get programs to, you know, get the residents to buy or maybe, like, rent-to-own programs. People doing, you know, own situations where they can rent for a couple years and then after that they can own the properties. But I think that's the key, is the residents becoming homeowners. And then, you know, some of those buildings, a lot of them on Penn Avenue, they're, like, abandoned. They're cheap, you know. It's just about getting – and there's some great, good Black developer. Like, I think I was telling you about Bomani House. I think he's doing a project on the Hill. I mean, it's just about getting people that are experienced that to come. And that whole Penn Avenue, a lot of those properties you probably can get for dirt cheap. I know Wilkinsburg has they have incentive programs to buy some of those. Like, if they're just, you know, back on taxes, I think you can, you know, work something out where you just kind of pay a minimal fee and get the property. I mean, but, yeah, I think it's just about taking a property, a place like Wilkinsburg that hasn't, you know, it has potential because the location is amazing. Like, the location is great. Some challenges. But you fix those challenges, and it's prime real estate. It's just about educating the residents to become owners and getting that business district together with some type of developer or something like that. And, I mean, that could be it. What you trying to do?
Okay.
You trying to...
Listen.
All right.
Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. You see me on Penn Avenue with a couple buildings. We got it. I'm telling you. I'm about to call my husband. Like, look. Al Kevin Hart said, got the checking and the savings and the savings in a second. I'm about to own some property. We got a caller, too. Caller, too. Thank you so much for calling. What is your name? Where are you from?
Hi, peace and blessings.
Oh,
man. And to your guests, how are you?
I'm doing
so good. How are you?
Oh, this is a wonderful show. This is a wonderful show. And you know I always come up with something to say.
Come on. Listen, let me do the introduction. This is my beloved sister. She is the mother of Owen Dynasty. She is Sister Bessie the Truther. Vanessa Doss, she is somebody you want to get to know because she spits facts, unadulterated facts. That's why I call her the mother, M-U-V-A, okay? So,
I love it. Nice to meet you.
She has a show called Sister Bessie's Front Porch. And let me tell you, she be on that front porch regulating.
I know that's right.
What you get for us today, Sister Bessie?
Yes, I wanted to point out, I think it was two things. I was sitting here writing out as I was listening to you all. As we know, because I have told, and they have said it on the news, that 10 million people will be evicted by the end of this year or next year. So that means that a lot of people will have eviction on their record, which a lot of them will not be able to get any help. But a lot of people don't know that there is help out there. It's grants, COVID relief. And our people have to go and seek out this information. It's called COVID-19 Rental Assistance Program. They also help you with your electric, your water bill, and your gas bill, up to $2,000.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yes.
Did I tell you? I said, did I tell you this is going to come with some facts? He went, wait a minute.
Yeah, that is great information. Absolutely.
Yes. So there are grants for us out there, but we have a tendency to not seek that. You know, so we have to seek that. And the other thing I wanted to talk about was there were some young men on YouTube that put $50 a month. I don't know whether it was a month or a week. And they kept doing this for so many years. And these five brothers bought their own home.
Mm.
Wow. Okay.
That's amazing.
And they also designated one of the brothers to be responsible for the money.
Hmm.
And we have lost that in the black community to believe in each other that we can accomplish this.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another incident where two sisters in another state bought, I believe it was 91 acres of land. And
wow.
They raised the money to buy that land, a group of them. And this is why I'm enjoying your show, because we have lost that togetherness. You know,
mm-hmm.
we often are worried about somebody having more than the other, but when you look at it, look at our community. Look at who's coming in and buying the lots. Look at who
mm-hmm.
is coming in and buying the houses. And it's
yes.
not black people.
Right.
So they're waiting for you to lose your property. That's what they call gentrification.
Yep.
So what I'm saying is I'm enjoying your show. And we as a people got to find a way to work together to buy land and property, as you said.
Wow.
So I just wanted to point out the
Internet Radio Hall of Fame broadcasting nominee, Sister Bessie the Truther. She has a title with her name. That's how bad she is. All right, Sister Bessie.
All right, I love y'all, and I'm enjoying
the show.
Thank you.
Love you too, Sister Bessie. We have another caller. Caller, tell us your name, where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Genesis Amaris Kemp again. So I want to echo what Sister Bessie said, and you mentioned earlier about getting back to Black Wall Street and how we can encourage our younger generation as well as others to support Black-owned business. How can we go about really encouraging people to come together, especially when we want to work together, but then some people may have, you know, preconceived notions or unconscious biases, which will cause them mm-hmm. to retreat versus step up to the plate. Then the second part of that question is, do you work with black lenders or et cetera to help build up the community? So they're lending you money and then you're putting their name out there. They're growing their lending business, but you're also growing your real estate business too. So y'all are helping one another.
Okay, yeah. So, okay, the first question, so how can we, it can be tough. I remember being young and hearing people say, like, oh, you try to give black people a shot and they always disappoint you. Oh, you can't do business with black people. You know what I mean? But it would be amongst each other, you know? And so that is a challenge that we have in giving each other business, because it's that stigma. But I think, you know, just on the business side of it, I think striving for black excellence in the business and just always doing above and beyond. And, you know, we just have to keep encouraging each other to support each other, because it's just what we have to do. You know what I mean? But the more we encourage, the more we push the initiative, I feel like, you know, it will get better. So hopefully, you know, because we do have that issue amongst ourselves, and so we just have to keep encouraging each other. And I think conversations like this, you know, conversations like these, they help. Oh, and as far as Black lenders, I actually don't I don't work with any Black lenders here. I've never worked with like a Black lending institution. I actually don't even, I'm not even in contact with any. So if you know any, let me know, please. I do work with private lenders. Like my old boss of mine, we're working together to do a deal. So like he has money and we're going to do a deal together. You know what I'm saying? So it's not, he's not necessarily like a lending institution, but I will work with individual partners that are Black. You know what I mean? So,
yeah,
I hope
great.
That answers your question.
It definitely does answer my question. I just wish that maybe we could, like, come together and put together some type of pipeline for people who are interested in going into real estate where there's kind of like our own call directory, kind of like, you know, the Green Book, but that for real estate, where people who are interested in getting into the field, they kind of have their go-to information without any BS or any fluff, because there are certain times people have certain information, but it's like, oh, no, this is my information. If I share this information, she's going to take over or he's going to take over. And we have to remember that there's enough food for us all to have, and we could all have a seat at the table if we just come together collectively. But I'm just really enjoying this conversation. Like, I really want to get into real estate and thinking about getting my license.
That's awesome. Well, you know what? I invite you to join. I have a Facebook group. It's called Pittsburgh Off-Market Deals. So it is a Pittsburgh group, but there's like 3,500 members in the group. And we wholesale. So it's like a wholesaling in there. People ask questions, and they learn. It's a great network and meet other people that are getting in the business. There's a lot of new wholesalers in there. And if you see any in your local area, like you said you're in Houston? Are you in Houston? Hello?
Is Genesis there?
Oh, sorry. I was muted. They muted me. Yes, I'm in Houston, Texas. Yes.
Oh, okay. So you might, if you look in on Facebook, there's always like these, you know, buy and sell real estate groups. So those types of investor groups in Houston, that's going to be a great place for you to join and learn, because in networks. Because there's always, like, people new in the business that are asking questions, and then you'll see the big investors actually in there posting properties and doing things like that. And you'd be surprised. They're very, you know, some of them are very approachable. And you can network that way. You can maybe even work for somebody for free just to learn. You know what I mean? So I would recommend just trying something like that to just get your foot in the door.
That's great information, and thank you for the feedback and just putting those tips out there, because I'm definitely going to check it out, put it on my list, and just get going, because there's definitely money out here to be made as well as in your community and just building it up.
There absolutely is. Yes, it is.
We do have a track next, and then after that, I want you, Vanessa, just to go over what businesses that you have, because you have definitely have some businesses that we need to be aware of.
Do the meditative popcorn. Shake your hips and let your backbone slip. Come on now. Baby.
Business with E. Davis. You are on the air all the way from Logos. Dial in to join the conversation, 516-453-9133. Press option 1. This is brought to you by Looking Glass Entertainment. We have a awesome guest on tonight. This is Vanessa Dawes. She is a realtor and investor, and this is the opportunity for her to just talk about her information, to tell us the name of your business, and then also your Facebook information, where we can contact you, get in touch with you.
Yes, definitely. Thank you, E. So my business is called Ness Buys Houses. That's N-E-S-S. My name is Vanessa, so N-E-S-S Buys Houses. So you can go to that website at nestbuyshouses.com. I have a Facebook page, and you can just look me up, Vanessa Dawes. But I also have a group, a Facebook group. It's a private Facebook group for investors, and it's called Pittsburgh Off-Market Deals. So we just people that are pushing off-market. So if it's not on the – it's not listed with a realtor, but someone just has a house that they want to, you know, put out there and sell, or if someone's wholesaling a house, that's what we do all day. So it's just properties that are off market in that group happening. You know, people are making deals all day in the group. So that's, I invite you guys to stop out there. And I also am a realtor with Coldwell Banker, and my website with that is vanessadawes.cbintouch.com. And I have an Instagram. You can find me on Instagram, Vanessa Dawes. But, yeah, reach out to me. Chat with me. I love talking real estate. I sell homes on the market, and I buy deals off market. I do both. I do it all.
Okay. We do have another caller in queue. Caller, tell us your name and where you're calling from.
In abundant divine blessings, you're now listening to the tone of voice. of the master sound therapist, master sound healer, and the grand architect of the universe. Always love your shows, Miss E. Davis. Honors to your special honored guests. You know, when I hear of, you know, someone speak about Black Wall Street, and there has been many, you know, communities that have arisen and taken away in an instant. And a lot of people are still reliving that pain every time that we think about the atrocities that have went on for so long. The only thing that I want to share right now and honor to you about real estate, because it's about ownership, and it almost is a shame when you think about the original owners of this planet, the first children of the Most High or children of Mother Nature. That's one of the things that's been pretty much extracted out through fear. And that's why they want to constantly keep things going with making us watch through taillights visually and watching the murders of Black men, women, and children. And they see how easy it is for the them to do what they do and keep getting away with it. So my only suggestion I want to say is before we can even think about rebuilding a Black Wall Street or any other street for that matter, you would think that we should know better after all of this time that we haven't established a military. We have all kind of money that came in and out, you understand? And, you know, many people say that a fool and their money will soon depart. They soon will divorce from each other. But the only thing that this country and our open enemies comprehend is military warfare. And you know, you got a lot of God-fearing people out here, and they feel that they think that they're going to get protected when we were all supposed to be able to raise ourselves up, be able to train ourselves, and we have a given right to protect ourselves without, you know, someone that's telling us or giving us the authority to do it. And I put that out there because just like they did a good job into using scare tactics and all kind of things like that, that's one of the things that has to be reinstilled in all of us. We got a right to protect ourselves and each other. Until we get that type of mindset, then a Black Wall Street may rise, but it will surely be taken away. Anyway.
That's deep.
Yeah.
That's very deep, Brother Hooney. Brother Hooney Bakatoon is an international internet radio Hall of Fame broadcastee. He is, his information is, it's extremely deep. So, wow. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for that, Brother Hooney.
You're very welcome, and thank you for all that you do. One of my favorites when it comes to broadcasting. Definitely looking forward, you know, to supporting you and yours and Miss Real Estate. Thank you so much for coming and blessing us at O&E Dynasty and the rest of the world, okay?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
You
so much.
What do you have to say with regards to what Brother Hooney had said with regarding Black Wall Street?
Well, like you said, it was deep. It's sad, you know what I mean? Like, because she's like, look, I mean, we could talk about it, but it'll get destroyed again unless we have some type of military. And it's, man, you know, it's just, we see what happened, you know what I mean? And we see so many years of keeping of Black people down and keeping us away from that wealth building thing. So, I mean, I can, you know, for him to say something like that, yeah, I can understand where he's coming from. But I guess I'm more of an optimist, and I would just try it anyway, with or without a military. You know what I mean? I just feel like when you own that, it is power. When you own, you know what I mean. And I feel like just being, I think it's the education and just the demystifying, like I talk to people, and sometimes they're like, you know, they make excuses why they don't own. And sometimes I think they deep down, they have doubt, and they don't think they can. So it's like, oh, I don't want to own a house right now. Oh, I don't want to. You know what I mean? Without really, I think it's just the doubt and the I don't think I can. That kind of just pushes them away anyway. You know what I mean? And if you look at our counterparts, like, you know, they have conversations at the dinner table all the time about, you know, oh, yeah, Johnny purchased his home and, oh, this and that. And, you know, and their kids are seeing them do it early. They buy homes early. And it's just, it's what, like, you can't teach what you don't know. You can't give what you don't have. You know what I mean? And so, like I said, when we look at the history of everything that kind of happened with Black people and how everything's been taken away when we finally did get things, or it's, you know, that information and that doubt. It really is that doubt and that kind of how, what was the guy's name that just called in?
His brother, Dr. Tim.
Yeah, like you get disappointed so much, even as disappointment gets passed down, you know, generation after generation. And so I think it's just a matter of us really just educating, just the education and just pressing the importance of this is where wealth is built. Because once you're an owner, once you have that money, the other thing that makes the world go round is money. You know what I mean?
Right.
Once you have that money and that it's power. Once you're an owner, it's power. You start buying up the block. I mean, you have power. So I still think just educating our people and helping them understand the importance of, hey, just start small. Because I feel like it's too many of us that they're like, okay, when I buy my home, oh, I'm not buying no townhouse. I ain't about to share no walls with nobody. Like, their first house, they wanted to look like the house on Cribs or something. It's like, no, boo, just buy you a little small something and get started. You know what I'm saying?
They're buying, something that's above their means, yeah.
Yes, and they can't afford what they want. You know, you got, you know, champagne tasting a beer, but just start small, but just start,
wow.
You know, because before you know it, now you got equity in your house. And you might have lucked
right.
up and bought in the area where it went up really high. So
right.
it's just about just starting and just getting your starter home first. And then you can get a, you know what I mean? But
Right. Well, I want to thank you so much for calling. Right now we have a segment, what is called Ngozi Time, which is our producer. He's going to come in and he's going to say his words and give his comments on the show. Ngozi Time.
Well, first of all, I want to thank our wonderful guests. Ownership is all about power. I own my business. No one can tell me what I need to do with my business. We have
Absolutely.
Some great hosts,
Absolutely.
And we don't micromanage or censor. And that's the key to the greatness of Oney Dynasty, because it's fantastic. You brought up a good point tonight
mm-hmm.
about ownership and love of yourself. If you love yourself, you want to own yourself. How about that, guys? If you love yourself, you want to own yourself. You want to own the things around
right.
you. What happened in Tulsa, and, you know, a little more than 100 years ago, is more than tragic. I saw, you know, an episode of Lovecraft Country, episode 11. And you saw the bombs that came on the community. You know, you saw what happened before. You know, like, hey, they canceled our prom. Why? You know, what's going on? Why we got to go home? And they imprisoned people before the capture of, you know, the land. It was the Louisiana Purchase, part two. They knew those people can build upon a legacy. And at that time in the 20s, that couldn't happen for white supremacy. Could not happen.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about at a time when the Klan had more than 9 million members at that time. 9 million members. Imagine that.
Wow.
And so those things happen for reasons, you know, and to keep on, you know, the capitalism of the world. How do we get our capital? It starts at home. If you don't have the ability to control your own legacy in where you live, where you're renting or owning, you don't have the capacity to help people and change people. We have to get back to family reunions. What happened to the family reunions, guys? What happened to that?
Mm.
You know, what happened to, you know, mowing the baseball fields, you know, in our communities? What happened to, you know, telling the stories of long ago? Somehow we got caught up in, I got to make it every day, or, you know, boy, I just came home from work, I had no time. You know, we have to have time for our children and tell the stories of long ago. And not only that, build that with what we know now, what you guys just did, right? you know, amalgamating those things for greatness. You know, I talk about my son a lot, E. Davis.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my son is an entrepreneur. You know, he's a beat maker. And the music that you hear in every single video ad is my son. You know, he's brilliant.
Wow.
And to see that, and then that's secondary. My son is a culinary artist. He's one of the best cooks I've ever seen. And I told him from a little boy that life is not fair. You have to make it your own. And I'm proud of my boy, you know, and I'm, you know, more than anything I've ever achieved, you know, E. Davis, you know what I achieved. I'm not going to talk about that tonight until later, but, you know, he saw me come down in my studio countless times making music, producing shows, you know, setting the example of greatness. And that's what we have to do as parents. Mm. We have to set the example for greatness. We talk, but how do you lead and how do you, you know, teach our children well? You know, goes back to, you know, The Greatest Love of All by George Benson. I believe the children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty that they possess inside. We do that, and then we have a building of Black Wall Street 2.0 right here on these O-N-E stations. Thank you so much, young lady, for coming on this program tonight. We appreciate you. And, of course, tomorrow night. Yeah, thank you. And tomorrow night we come on these O-N-E stations with, you know, Pastor Kevin Perry. And B. Davis, you better be on that show, okay?
Pastor said
you better bring your behind on that show tomorrow night. It's called.
I'll be there. Like, I'm the Jackson 5. I'll be there.
You know what? I'll be there. You know, don't get me started. Anyway, listen, tomorrow night, this wonderful Pastor Kevin Perry and his show is The Work Is Done. 9:30 Eastern Daylight Time on these O&E stations. And, of course, before I go there, we have some important shows, okay, coming on, and I'm going to bring back on our special guest. On Saturday night, I will be installed as the Internet Wonder, the International Internet Radio Hall of Fame Broadcasting and Shrine for Producing for the class of 2021. And it's hosted by Jerry Petito, okay, E. Davis. And, you know, my presenters, I'm so proud of them, Angela Thomas Smith, our commissioner of these networks, Sister Bessie the Truther, Huni Bakatoon, and my final presentation from Sylvia L. Blaylock, a owner, okay, owner of Queendom Network out of San Francisco, California, is going to present me to the Hall of Fame. That's Saturday night.
Wow.
On these O&E stations. And, of course, we come back on Sunday night with the Battle of the Network Stars. Our eight great, you know, shows will go against each other, and, you know, we'll crown a Battle of the Network Stars champion. That's on Sunday night right here on these O&E stations. And, of course, Bateman Network has advertising to O&E, which is Ola Deli, and goes in the process of course, at www.thelookingglassentertainment.wordpress.com, as well as in Ghostly Prime Time One at Damon.com. We're in Ghostly Time, both for Twitter and Instagram. Ola Deli and Ghostly at Pinterest and Google Plus. Ola Deli and Malay, we're in Ghostly at Facebook, as well as our business page, Strictly Business, as well as the historic, determined, and motivated Online Now Network established 2016. And any comments, suggestions to our wonderful program tonight, olaydelay.com. I am the International Internet Radio Producing Enshrinee for the class of 2021, as well as your mother and father's favorite producer, Ola Deli Malewa Ngozi, saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there in Armed Forces Radio that support us on a constant basis tonight. E. Davis, take us home for the next 2 minutes in the program.
So, with all that was said today, all the information was given today, it came to my mind to understand the concept of Black Wall Street 2.0. It's not about taking over the community and buying the land and building business and buying the real estate. It's about the mind, the real estate of your mind, owning your mind. Because if you have the mind frame to do it and to execute it, you can do so. Stop making excuses. If you have a job, if you cut grass, if you have a cleaning services, if you can take some money and help another business grow. That's Blackstream 2.0. It's the mindset. Change your thinking, because the more we try to buy labels to impress people that don't like us, we are wasting money and pouring it into the trash. Yes, we like labels. Yes, we like jewelry. Yes, we like clothing. But what is it accomplishing? One of the biggest clapbacks I saw this past week was when Eminem, the rapper Eminem, said something degrading about Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson didn't have to write a song to say anything. What Michael Jackson did was buy his publishing. That was his Black Wall Street 2.0. That was his mind. He said, I'll show you. He bought his publishing. So now every time Eminem sings something, he's working for Michael Jackson. And Michael Jackson's been dead for over 10 years. Black Wall Street 2.0 is about your mind. We thank you, Vanessa Doss, for taking the time to explain to us the concept of real estate, because, again, it is the money maker. So if you have the money, build it. Build it for your community. If you want to build it for yourself, build it for these children.